KCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Just before we introduce our guest today, we'd like to welcome brand new listeners in the Mecca Palm Springs, California area, listening to Crosstalk over KRCK Radio. That's 97.7 FM. Glad to have you join us daily here during this hour as we discuss issues of our time from a conservative Christian perspective. Again, a special welcome to those of you listening in the Mecca Palm Springs, California area. Well, ladies and gentlemen, today our focus is going to return to Israel and the Middle East. There is much that is happening politically, geographically, militarily, and spiritually. And have you noticed? There's a growing animosity against Israel and Jewish people all over the world. Joining us today, we welcome Chris Katulka, the Assistant Director of North American Ministries with Friends of Israel. He is host of the radio program, The Friends of Israel Today. We carried over our network Saturday mornings, and what a delight it's been to stay informed on many issues. Chris also serves as a speaker, a writer, and blogger for the Friends of Israel. He writes for Israel My Glory magazine. The Friends of Israel is a worldwide Christian ministry communicating biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah, while also fostering solidarity with the Jewish people. Chris, welcome back to Crosstalk.
Jim, always great to be with you.
We have got a lot to unfold today, but let's examine, first of all, what's going on politically. We're going to recognize that Israel has elected a new president, the head of the Labor Party, Isaac Herzog, to replace Reuven Rivlin.
That's right. It's important to understand what the president is in Israel, too. So before you all go thinking, wait a minute, I thought Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was the prime minister. Who's this president? You know, a president in Israel, it functions more like the queen. Really, one of the only, roles that a president in Israel plays, that's one of the most significant roles, is the role of making sure that the government is functioning, to make sure that the government is moving forward. They have no legislative powers at all. So currently, Reuven Rivlin is the president, and he functions to make sure that when the elections take place, the person with the most seats, the person that's the head of the party with the most seats, gets the ability, he is tasked by the president with the ability to form a government. That's actually what's going on right now in Israel. And so when we talk about Isaac Herzog, the new 11th president of Israel, we're talking about someone who doesn't actually have any legislative power, but is more of a figurehead of Israel. And somebody who makes sure that the government is moving forward, represents the state of Israel to the world. Much again, like, the monarchy in the UK. And so it's a very important position, though. And yes, they had their new 11th president, Isaac Herzog.
Okay. So while this is unfolding, we also have the continued battle going on for Israel's prime minister. So if you could, Chris, tell us what is the latest on this issue in which there's been this, well, most recently, a coalition that's been formed to oppose Benjamin Netanyahu for another term as prime minister.
That's right. Actually, there's a great picture I just saw of Prime Minister Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, with the new president that will come in July, Isaac Herzog. And Isaac said to Benjamin Netanyahu, I hope to work with as many prime ministers as I possibly can.
Oh, my.
And the reason that's important is because there's a lot of people working right now in Israeli politics to oust Netanyahu. Now, Netanyahu, has been the prime minister of Israel for around 14 years. We just had an interview with Joel Rosenberg not long ago, and Joel was saying him and his family have lived in Israel for about 5 years, I believe, and they've done five different elections. They've voted in five different elections, while Palestinians have not voted in, 16 years or so. And so the democracy of Israel is very vibrant right now. And there's a lot of warring between the parties of Israel in order to oust Netanyahu. They believe he's had too much power, too much influence. He's hung around too long, and they'd like to see a change happen. And that's where we have this group of parties that want to form called a change bloc. Imagine if the Democrats and Republicans worked together to change something in politics. It almost seems impossible mm-hmm. in our current political world that we live in here in the United States. Well, in Israel, these parties that are literally at two extremes of the spectrum, we're talking about a Islamist party called Ra'am that's working with a right, you know, a very conservative Jewish party called Yamina with Naftali Bennett. And then right in the middle is the moderate Yesh Atid party that are all working together to say, you know, we're going to form a government. We're going to choose a prime minister, and we are going to form a government just for the sake of pushing out Benjamin Netanyahu to change this.
Yeah, it's amazing. And what stage is that in at this point? I mean, are we under a timeline? Are we going to see yet another election take place?
In the next 2 hours, as we're talking right now, in the next 2 hours, Israel, they're going to have to make a decision. The 12 o'clock Israel time is going to be the deciding factor as to whether or not this change block of various parties can form 61 seats and push forward a prime minister who will be Naftali Bennett. And so for all of our listeners out there, Naftali Bennett, if this change block does actually push out Netanyahu, you know, there's no reason to feel as though that all of a sudden now there's a liberal government coming in. Actually, Naftali Bennett is as conservative, if not more maybe in some areas, as Benjamin Netanyahu is. And in forming this government, it looks like, from what I can see and from what I'm reading, Naftali Bennett will be prime minister for 2 years. So he gets the first shot at being prime minister. And so that is a good positive thing. The hard thing is trying to maintain that government, Jim. I mean, mm-hmm. imagine, you know, an atomic explosion. You've got atoms working and fighting against one another. Well, when your coalition government are extreme odds of one another, it's hard to keep that kind of government together. Yeah. So it's really just for the purpose of ousting Netanyahu, really. But they have till 12 o'clock today. If it doesn't happen by 12 o'clock, we could be moving into the fifth election in 2 years, an unprecedented time in Israel, which would actually even then keep Netanyahu sitting in the prime minister seat and giving him the shot again at keeping power in Israel, which is just, it's unheard of. Even the very first prime minister of Israel, David Ben-Gurion, Netanyahu has outlived him for longevity as prime minister.
Chris Katulka with us today from Friends of Israel. Chris, let's get to this war against Israel launched by Hamas. I mean, we had Hamas launching more than 4,000 rockets on Israel. We're in a time of ceasefire right now, but give us your observations on this recent attack against Israel.
Jim, there was so much at play. It was very hard for people to understand exactly what was sparking the fire of this recent war that took place. 4,000 rockets were launched from Gaza into Israel. And honestly, praise the Lord for Israeli ingenuity and for the Iron Dome system they have. Because the one thing people don't realize, and I understand, is that, you know, when we think of rockets, I think we often have a picture of, you know, big rockets that get launched over. In the years past, Hamas, when they would launch a rocket from, you know, southern Israel, which Gaza is basically on the southeastern border of Israel, or on the Mediterranean. It borders Egypt as well. You know, when they would launch rockets into Israel, maybe they would come into towns around there, but most of it was farmland. It was a danger for those smaller towns. But, you know, as Iran continues to supply arms to Hamas in Gaza, the rockets get more sophisticated and they can go further. And now we're beginning to see that these rockets that are going into Israel from Gaza, they're going into Tel Aviv. They have the capacity to go to Ashdod, Ashkelon, Tel Aviv, into areas of Jerusalem. And I'm going to tell you something, if you can get a rocket into those places, it's like launching a rocket into New York City. You're going to do damage and you're going to kill somebody. It's going to happen. And fortunately for the Iron Dome system, which I believe, if I remember correctly, was operating at 95%, they were able to make sure that the Israelis stayed safe. There are still casualties on the Israeli side. And so praise God for the Iron Dome system. But really, all of this kind of sparks, I believe, from two things. Number one, the canceled Palestinian elections brought on by Mahmoud Abbas. He canceled elections for the Palestinian people. And then the other is the re-up of American funds going to the Palestinian Authority. It's been amazing how quiet it's been in Israel between 2018 and the middle of, you know, of March, April of 2021. And then all of a sudden we start promising funds to the Palestinians again. And I don't know what sparked it, but it was enough, it seems as though, for them to begin to launch rockets over. And so I think that there's a play there between the canceled elections from the Palestinian Authority president and also, I think, the funding that's coming into the Palestinians as well.
So is the dispute in this region, is it about religion, is it about land, or about something else?
It is all the above. You nailed it. It is religion. You know, for Hamas, their charter is to push Israel into the sea. You know, their one goal, Hamas, who controls Gaza, and this is actually the big concern right now, Jim, is that when the Palestinian president, who sits in the West Bank, when they were going to have elections, he saw the writing on the wall. He was going to lose, and the winners were going to be Hamas. So not only would Hamas control Gaza, the terrorist organization control Gaza, now they would control the West Bank as well. That's the reason he canceled elections. So Hamas was probably more likely flexing their muscles to the Palestinians to say, I know that you probably can't trust, and they don't trust Mahmoud Abbas, the president of the Palestinians. Trust us. We will fight the cause against the Israelis. We will push them into the sea. It's very religious. It's very land-based. They want to make sure that Israel disappears. There's no place for a Jewish person in Palestine, as they would call it. And so they're working to make sure that they know that. And yet, so it's based in their charter. It is a part of who they are as a political arm of the Palestinian people.
Why the obsession?
The obsession comes, I think it's deeply rooted not only in their culture. It's a cultural thing for a lot of Islamists. But I also believe it comes from their teachings in the Quran. You know, there are very peaceful Muslims that only want peace, and we saw that actually happen during the Trump administration. We saw that America was able to broker peace between Israel and four Muslim Arab nations, Morocco, Bahrain, Sudan, and the UAE. That's an amazing thing that's
yes.
never happened before. You can see that they want peace. They want to work together, especially toward the common cause of Iran. But at the same time, on Main Street, there's still this animosity, this anti-Semitism, this hatred of the Jewish people in the Arab world. I understand the peace is very important. You can see it. It's amazing. These are signed deals, you know, between these countries that are now, that have been working together for some time now. But at the same time, you know, when you look at what's going on, there's still anti-Semitism, the hatred of the Jewish people that's rooted in culturally and religiously in a lot of these areas as well. And so it really boils up with Hamas. Hamas is just an Islamic arm, a religious Islamic arm of the Palestinian people that's ruling over Gaza right now. The Palestinians elected them into power in Gaza.
We're going to take a quick break here, folks, and we'll come back to talk more about Israel being in the crosshairs, even as the U.S. Sends funding over to Gaza. We'll be talking about some of those issues and how the president here in the United States actually has been courting the Palestinian Authority. We'll be back with more information after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what were the flying dinosaurs?
Chris, the flying reptiles like the pterodactyls were not really dinosaurs. By definition, dinosaurs walked on land with bones different from the flying reptiles. But they're often in the same discussion, usually as being huge reptiles from the great age of reptiles. Of course, I disagree with the term age of reptiles. I think all animals were created during creation week. Flying animals on day 5 and land animals on day 6. But, you know, there's a lot of evidence that these flying reptiles lived at the same time as humans. Sober historians of yesteryear describe such beasts and even drew pictures of them. And the American Indians even drew pictures of the Thunderbird, and their drawings are similar to the Pteranodon. Make no mistake, Chris, the evidence fits the back-to-Genesis truth of recent creation of all things.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
guest today, Chris Katulka, who is the Assistant Director of North American Ministries with Friends of Israel. Chris, you put forth a magazine called Israel My Glory. Tell us about it.
Yeah, Israel My Glory is one of our flagship publication. We've been producing Israel My Glory, publishing it since 1942. If anybody who's an evangelical Christian or any Christian who loves Israel, the Jewish people, or maybe even wants to know more about Israel, why God chose Israel, the biblical approach to Israel, what's happening in Israel today in the Middle East, I encourage you to get a one-year free subscription that we're offering your listeners right now, Jim, and they can get a one-year free subscription. That's 6 issues of our award-winning Christian magazine, Israel My Glory. And if I can just say, our most recent issue is actually called The Power of the Gospel. On the upcoming radio program that'll air this weekend on VCY, you're going to hear me sobbing like a baby with my boss, Steve Herzig, who's a Jewish believer who writes about a letter that he wrote to his father, who was Orthodox Jewish, and what it meant for him to be raised in an Orthodox family, but also to share the gospel with him. It's a really heartfelt letter. I think your listeners will love to read if they get this issue of Israel My Glory.
How do they get this one-year free subscription?
Yeah, they can go to – first, they can call right now if they want. We have our representative standing by, and you can simply call 800-257-7843. I'll say it again. It's 800-257-7843. And our representatives will help sign them up for a year free subscription if they've never received Israel My Glory before. Or they can go to our website, which is FOI, as in Friends of Israel, FOI.org.
Folks, just mentioned you heard Chris on Crosstalk today. You heard the offer for a one-year free subscription to Israel My Glory, a magazine, 6 issues coming out every 2 months. The number to call, 1-800-257-7843. Chris, we were talking about, the hostility from the Palestinian hostility against Israel. And there is an Islamic scholar, last name is Nassar, who said this: humanity will not thrive until, and referring to the Jewish nation, is annihilated. And that's exactly what Islam prophesied. You shall fight the Jews and you shall kill them. And the trees and the rocks shall say, O Muslim, O servant of Allah, there is a Jew behind me. Come and kill him. And the quote goes on there. But they are saying that humanity is not going to thrive until the Jews are annihilated. And that's exactly what Islam has prophesied. This is outrageous. And yet, you know, where's the horror from the United Nations, the condemnation from the UN or from other countries around the world when they're trying to wipe this nation off the face of the earth?
Exactly. The UN Security Council was supposed to gather recently to talk about issues with COVID-19, a global pandemic that has killed millions of people around the world. And instead of dealing with that issue, they got together and decided to attack Israel. I don't know if you know that recently happened at the UN.
Yeah.
This is not uncommon. Again, you know, we're talking about the fact that Jewish people have been persecuted for thousands of years. Muslim persecution, in my opinion, is rooted in a hatred that stems from the Quran. So extreme Islamists will always bend in this direction because that's the way the Quran bends when it comes to the Jewish people. It's not about Israel. That's the problem. A lot of people think this is a political problem, you know, Israel and their treatment of the Palestinians. It's not that. It's a religious issue to a lot of people in the Palestinian communities. But I'd also like to add this just for your listeners so they don't think that I'm totally detached from reality on the ground in the Middle East. I really want our listeners to not only pray for Israel, but even to be praying for the Palestinian people. A lot of these people are innocent bystanders in the process. They just want dignity. They want freedom. They want hope. There's a lot of bad apples, a lot of them when it comes to Hamas, when it comes to those in political power in the West Bank. But I speak to a lot of these people, and you know what? They love Israel. They love the Jewish people. They have no problem with the Jewish people. They want freedom like the Jewish people have freedom and the Arabs that live in Israel. So I really, my heart goes out to a lot of these people, the Palestinians, who suffer under the hand of horrible leadership that are constantly forcing them down the wrong path. So I really hope that your listeners can be not only praying for Israel and the Jewish people, very important, especially as anti-Semitism is on the rise, but even to be praying for Palestinians as well.
Well, friends, as Chris pointed out, I mean, we have the United Nations right now creating this commission to probe what they're calling war crimes against Israel. And they're talking about the slaughter of innocents, of civilian people here, Chris. But is it not true that Hamas actually puts the place where they shoot their rockets from and their offices in civilian locations?
Yes. You know, when I travel to Israel, one of the great, you know, benefits I get is I get a chance to step on the foot of Israel Defense Force bases. And I've met some amazing young adults who are serving in the military in Israel. I've heard from them. I've had a chance to share my faith with them, to hear from some leading officials in the IDF. And every time I go to a Israel Defense Force base, it is never within a population source. It's usually, you know, population center. It's usually away from the cities. You know, Air Force bases are away from the cities. The navies are away from the cities. Everything is in its place. You know, so if somebody's going to attack Israel and their military installations, it's not going to hit Tel Aviv. It's not going to hit Jerusalem. It's going to be at these specific locations where their missiles are stored, where their arms are stored. But when you go into Gaza, there is a sophisticated network of tunnels underneath all of the buildings in Gaza that connect the network of Hamas, the militant arm of Hamas, as they transfer missiles from one, apartment where people live to a school, to a hospital. They use these places because they want mass casualty. Mass casualty for Hamas isn't a negative thing, like it would be for Israelis or for Americans. Mass casualty is a positive thing because they know they can't win a war against Israel physically. They know they will lose every time. But what they can win is a PR battle. And if they can make Israel look like the bad guy, if they can make Israel look like the oppressor, if they can make Israel look like the one who is killing innocent lives, then they, in their opinion, have won.
Chris, just last week there was this press conference with the State Department, and a reporter asked this: how can the U.S. guarantee aid to Gaza that it won't be diverted toward replenishing the Hamas arsenal? And the State Department responded, well, there are no guarantees, but we're going to do everything we can to ensure that the assistance reaches the people who need it the most. And I read that and I thought, it is absolutely unconscionable that our tax dollars might be sent to this region, that we might be helping Hamas in launching these rockets.
Happens every time. I was just speaking with people about this. The money that we send over to the Palestinian Authority never gets audited. They can't audit it because, see, once it goes into their systems, they're going to distribute it the way that they want to distribute it and put it into the hands of people that they want to put it into the hands to. I was a part of a commission down in Washington, D.C. a few years ago, and I met a very intelligent Palestinian man. He's a Palestinian activist, a human rights activist. His name's Bassem Eid, and he loves Israel and the Jewish people. And he was there actually trying to tell the government of the United States that the money that they're sending over to help educate Palestinian kids at the UNRWA camps that are over there, the United Nations camps that are helping the Palestinian people, are not going over to teach kids basic arithmetic, grammar and things of that nature. It's actually going over to teach them how to stab Jewish people. Mm. It's teaching them how to hate Israel. It's teaching them that Israel doesn't matter, that it's irrelevant, and to get ready for war, these kind of things. And he was a Palestinian human rights activist, was going to our Congress to let them know, when you're sending your money over there, you're sending it to actually teach kids violence and not teach kids peace. Your dollars are not being audited properly, and they never will be. So, of course, yes, when it comes to how we're spending money, when it goes over there, I promise you this one thing. It will not go over to help Gaza rebuild.
Yeah.
It's not going to help move these people that live in third world conditions out. It's actually going to probably go to reinstall a lot of those networks of tunnels, to bring in more rockets, to find new ways to get rockets in. It's an industry for them, and it keeps them busy. And that's why I think it's very important for Americans to understand where your tax dollars are going when it comes to helping the Palestinians.
Well, let's hit this Iran nuclear deal. This is something President Trump walked away from. And last week, we have the U.S. Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, a meeting with the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, and the Prime Minister told Blinken he hoped that the U.S. would not renew the nuclear deal with Iran, but if necessary, saying Israel's going to chart its own course. I mean, the Prime Minister very much in opposition to this joint comprehensive plan, but Blinken said negotiations with Tehran are going to continue. But Chris, in my eyes, I mean, this looks like quite a huge mistake on the part of the U.S.
Well, I don't, you know, I've been saying this in the editorials I've been writing, in the news spots I've been doing for our radio program. You know, the past 3 years in our relationship, the U.S., Israeli relationship, the past 3 years of the Middle East relationship felt new. Like there was something new going on. There was something fresh. There was peace being made. Iran was being, cornered, and they were ultimately being pressured through sanctions, not through making deals with them, but through sanctions, to quit their nuclear ambition. And they were in a stranglehold because of what the United States, the previous administration had done, the Trump administration. And it seemed like peace was breaking out. And now all of a sudden, it almost seems like overnight, we're going back to the failed policies of the past 70 years in the Middle East that got Israel and the Middle East nowhere. And it seems like we're placating and buddying up to Iran all over again. And we know that didn't work. The deal that we had through the JCPOA, the Iran deal, didn't guarantee us anything. It only guaranteed that they would withhold from making nuclear weapons, from enriching uranium, and eventually after 10 years or so, they could just start doing it again. It didn't actually change the behavior of Iran in the Middle East. Iran was still funding weapons to Hezbollah. Iran was still funding weapons to Hamas. Iran was still active in Iraq. So, you know, it's not as though the JCPOA changed the behavior of Iran, which is what I would like to see. In fact, I think it emboldened them more. Yeah, we won't do nuclear weapons or, you know, we'll do it undercover, but we're going to keep acting as the lead state sponsor of terrorism globally. And it didn't change anything, and I think we're going back to that again. The U.S., by shaking hands with the Ayatollahs, are only emboldening them to act in the Middle East once again, where I feel as though the Trump administration, their hard stance on Iran, actually pressured them, cornered them, and put them in a kind of a stranglehold, and there was relative peace in Israel for 3 years. I think there's something to be said about that I think got ignored by the Biden administration.
Indeed. And now we have Iran basically telling the Biden administration, you owe us one. U.S., you owe us. I mean, you withheld all the support. You walked away from this deal. You owe us. And it seems like the Biden administration is going to capitulate.
They for some reason, Iran is one of those golden calves to, you know, Biden and to the Obama administration. Mm-hmm. It was not a golden calf to the Trump administration, because I think Trump understood this is just a horrible deal for the United States, and it's a horrible deal in the Middle East. You know, I have to be honest, if for the administration, they need to see that the Sunni states do not like this deal as much as Israel doesn't. And they should listen to them. Nobody likes it in the Middle East.
We're going to take a quick break, friends. And when we come back, we're going to just touch on this matter of anti-Semitism just a little bit more. We'll be opening phone lines also in the next segment. So stay with us. You're listening to Crosstalk here on the VCY American Network.
From Rich Cristiano comes the captivating film, Unidentified.
Chief's gone.
What do you mean, gone? I just saw him go in there.
Just what I said, he's gone.
I can't find Darren.
Chief's gone, too.
Okay, that's impossible. We just saw them.
Someone find Keith and Darren.
I think it's that rapture thing.
What?
That Christian rapture thing, I'm telling you.
What rapture thing?
The rapture, the thing in the Bible.
Okay, that's crazy.
I'm telling you, I get a feeling it happened. All right, let's call some churches and see what they're saying.
Vince, where's your phone book?
Has anyone talked to City Hall yet?
Vince,
will someone please call news services?
Vince, I need your phone book.
I don't have one.
Lauren, where's your phone book?
What do you mean you still can't find her?
Lauren, can I have your phone book?
Well, look under the bed or in the basement. She's got to be there somewhere.
Will somebody throw me their phone book?
Vince, it's in the drawer there. Okay, you're really starting to scare me here. Are you sure you check absolutely everywhere?
Unidentified is available on DVD for a donation of $12 to VCY America. Additional copies to the same address are available for a donation of just $8 more. Call 1-800-729-9829.
The program is called Crosstalk, and again, we want to welcome listeners that are in the Palm Springs, Mecca, California area to 97.7 FM there. Welcome to Crosstalk as we discuss the issues on a daily basis. With us today, Chris Katulka, who is Assistant Director of North American Ministries with Friends of Israel. And by the way, folks, that magazine, Israel My Glory, that they publish six times a year, they are offering a one-year free subscription to Crosstalk listeners. But you need to contact them at this number, 1-800-257-7843. You mentioned I was listening to Crosstalk today. I heard the offer for a free one-year subscription. I'd like to take advantage of it. 1-800-257-7843 or online at FOI, that stands for Friends of Israel, FOI.org. Chris, as we're talking about the hostilities against Israel in particular, some of this was launched through a property dispute, the incitement of violence due to a dispute over property. Run that down for us. What exactly is the dispute that's taken place?
Yeah, so if you remember, I said there were two things to really look at when it comes to why there was a war between Hamas and Israel. Why did Hamas start launching rockets into Israel?
On Jerusalem Day.
It was because it was Jerusalem Day, that's right, and it was the end of Ramadan. But it was even the fact that the Palestinian president canceled elections. And in order to divert attention away from himself, he actually turned to a property dispute that was happening in Jerusalem in a town called Sheikh Jarrah, which I'm privy to because it's right next to a hotel that I stay at where I bring our tours to in Jerusalem. It's a very nice area, beautiful area. But there's a few homes, not many, in Sheikh Jarrah, and the Arab families have been living there, but there's been a property dispute that goes back to 1967 into the 1980s, where Jewish families were saying, hey, we have a deed to this land that goes back to 1875, and it's worked its way up the lower courts into the higher courts of Israel, and it was just about to make its way into the Supreme Court when all of a sudden Mahmoud Abbas, who's the president, pointed fingers and said, hey, look, these Israelis are trying to steal our land, when it was just a property dispute that had been in the courts for decades, and now all of a sudden it's being used as fodder for getting the attention off of Mahmoud Abbas and put it in the Palestinian president and putting it on Israel. And I'm going to tell you something, media bit on it. Media, it was like fish to bait. I mean, I don't know. Instead of actually doing real research about it, they just used it as an opportunity to make it look like Israel is just trying to steal land from Arabs, when really, if they did their research, they would see the Jewish people had a deed in their hand from 1875, and the Jewish people have been working through this in their court system for some decades now. But the problem with media these days is they don't want to actually do the work of the research needed to find out what the truth is.
No, they just love fanning the flames. Let's talk about these pro-Palestinian events, because we've been seeing them all over the globe, this rising up against Israel. I mean, country after country, city after city. Just this past Saturday, Washington, D.C., the Council on American Islamic Relations, otherwise known as Hamas Care, noted that 100-plus groups joined together for a national march for Palestine and calling to sanction Israel.
Yep, and it's happening. You're actually seeing a rise of hatred toward Israel and the Jewish people that is reminiscent, especially for the Jewish people, not for the nation of Israel. It wasn't around during World War II, but that's reminiscent of anti-Semitism prior to the Holocaust. We're talking about the fact that you have anti-Semitism, acts of hatred toward the Jewish people that are taking place in broad daylight on the street. Jewish people are actually wondering should we be wearing kippahs on our head, yarmulkes, or else we'll be marked and identified as Jewish and we could be beaten in the middle of the street. It's very dangerous right now to be a Jewish person, especially in New York and in LA, in major metropolitan areas, because they are being attacked because a lot of people think, oh, it's one thing to criticize Israel. Oh, I can be anti-Zionist. I can hate Israel. But the problem with hating Israel is it always bleeds into anti-Semitism. So whatever Israel does to protect itself from 4,000 rockets that come over will immediately become an opportunity for actual Jew hatred to arise. And I think they've seen something like a 400% increase in anti-Semitism within the past few months. And the FBI reported in 2019, so this is an old report, that 60% of hate crimes in America are brought on toward the Jewish people. You know, of all, you know, we've been talking a lot about police brutality toward the African-American community, Asian hate. We've been talking about these minorities, but nobody's talking about the Jewish people.
Right.
And the statistics are there. 60% of hate crimes are committed toward Jewish people, and it's on the rise right now.
Yeah, and we even got a teachers union. Just recently, we had the San Francisco Unified School District, a teachers union there, have officially come out in support of the BDS movement against Israel. What does a teachers union have to do with this? I mean, it is all part of that anti-Israel sentiment.
You know, as we've been going through the pandemic, I'm sure that you've been seeing how teachers unions have been using the pandemic as an opportunity to promote social justice.
Yes.
What they believe is social justice, and their values. And so it only plays in perfectly with these, progressive agenda that's coming out of some of these teachers unions, that they want to make sure that Israel is they could boycott Israel, they could divest from Israel, they could sanction Israel. And so it's no surprise to me to see that some of these, teachers unions, are using it as a platform to put down Israel. It's no surprise to me.
Our phone number to Crosstalk today is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. If you have a question for our guest today or a brief comment, 800-733-9829. Chris, at Friends of Israel, you've established an Israel Relief Fund. What are you doing with this fund?
Yeah, the Israel Relief Fund is an incredibly important outreach that we have at Friends of Israel that goes to reach out and help Israeli organizations, to help Israelis in their time of need. So, in fact, one of the things that we're doing right now is helping supply bomb shelters for those who live in areas where they don't have safe places to go during the missiles that are coming over from Gaza. We work with a organization called Operation Life Shield that is headed by an amazing man, Rabbi Shmuel Bowman. And I believe we have been able to install, since the launch of the rockets that started coming over, something like 16 bomb shelters, and they're not cheap. And so these are saving Israelis' lives. They're saving young kids' lives. As these rockets get launched up, they have a place to go for safety. And so Friends of Israel has been investing in that. We also invest in the pro-life movement in Israel as well. We like to make sure that women in Israel who might be single moms that have to deal with the choice of whether or not to keep the baby, that we can win their hearts to keep the child. We do this through funding an organization, a pro-life organization that will help that mother financially with needs for children, for their infant, diapers and things of that nature, and to help them during this time so they don't feel alone. And so we do as much as we possibly can. We help a ministry in Tel Aviv that's helping drug addicts on the streets of Tel Aviv. We bring the gospel to them. So the Israel Relief Fund is an opportunity for Christians to say that in the name of Jesus the Messiah, we are coming to help Israel and the Jewish people in their time of need.
For those who'd like to help with that, how can they do that?
They can go, again, to FOI.org, or they can call our listener line and find ways to donate through that, the 800-257-7843.
Okay. Well, our phone number to Crosstalk today is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. And just before we pick up our first call here, Chris, we have all of these nations that are desiring to see Israel wiped off the face of the earth. We see this growing BDS movement, an anti-Israel movement in countries around the world. Will Israel ever see peace?
Yeah, I believe they'll see peace, actually. It's written in the scriptures. I think that's something that we value here at VCY, and I know we value it here at the Friends of Israel, is what the Word of God says about Israel and the Jewish people. Mm-hmm. And God has a bright future for Israel and the Jewish people when the Prince of Peace returns to sit on his throne in Jerusalem. It's one of the reasons I want to invite your listeners to join us for our Jerusalem Prophecy Conference, where we're going to be studying the past, present, and future of Israel. But there is a bright future for Israel because the Prince of Peace will be coming. His name is Jesus. He's the Messiah of Israel, and he will sit on the throne in Jerusalem and rule and reign Amen. From Jerusalem. A bright future for Israel, Amen. And I am so thankful that the Lord has been faithful to maintain and preserve his people throughout the century.
And I understand this is a free prophecy conference?
It is a free prophecy conference. All that you have to do is register. It's our Jerusalem in Prophecy Conference. It's live. It'll be live and online starting July 18th through the 20th. So I really encourage your listeners to sign up.
Okay, again, foi.org. Let's go to Courtney Holding in Miami, Florida. Courtney, you're on the air.
God bless you, brother. This is a Gentile that loves to receive Israel my glory every other month.
Amen.
And in November last year, you heard about this couple that's teaching over in Israel, Isaiah 53, explaining it to the people, some of them Holocaust survivors. Well, that little money that the government sent me to try to buy my boat, I donated, and I give this to the honor of God.
Hmm.
He put it in my heart
Amen.
To send part of it to that particular couple to help, and I pray every day that God watch over Israel and bring his people back home safe, and that they learn what Isaiah 53 means and also John 3:16 and 3:17. God bless you, brother. And I walk up to people in the grocery store and I tell them there are many of my people that love the Jewish nation, and we're praying for the peace over there, and that God, we're getting ready to see God's strong arm. You're going to mess with Israel? Are you crazy?
That's right.
Thank you, Courtney. Appreciate your call. Chris, a very encouraging phone call there.
You know, Courtney needs to be preaching. That's all I have to say. That is, it's true what he said. I'm glad that he is not only saying it, but actually living it out too by giving and supporting Jewish ministry. That's fantastic. But I'd like to add one more thing, because I think Courtney is such an amazing testimony of what former Ambassador Ron Dermer, said about evangelical Christians. He was recently quoted saying that he, as an Israeli himself, can no longer fully trust that the American Jewish community is going to back Israel all the time. The greatest ally of Israel in America is the evangelical Christian, because it's not rooted in politics. It's not rooted in what our view is about the Middle East. It's rooted in what the scriptures say, and the scriptures are unmovable. And so because God loves Israel, we love Israel.
Amen. Well, friends, we've got let's see if we can get Jim in before the break. Jim in Brookfield, you're on the air.
Hi there. I had a question. I'm trying to understand. I read an article about the way that the Jewish people in the United States vote. Can you tell me their political leanings in the United States and why they vote the way they do?
Thank you, Jim. Chris, I'm going to have you answer that right after the break here, because it's just starting right now. Thank you, Jim. We'll pick it up on the other side here. Chris Katulka with us. So why do American Jews vote the way that they are? So we'll discuss that after the break. Back in 1 minute. By the way, we have a couple open lines here at 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. In May of 2020, the Huffington Post ran an article, and it criticized me for declaring that the global medical deep state could use vaccines and various other ways to cause people to become infertile for population control. Well, here we are now with a new article that just came out, May 2021, and it's a leaked report coming out of Japan. And what is it saying? the evidence is indeed that the spike proteins in the COVID vaccine could cause blood clots. It can cause all kinds of issues with your bone marrow, heart conditions, and, wait for it, infertility. Just as we said well over a year ago, infertility. My friends, this is nothing more than what we saw going on at another day and another time with the experiments on people, Nazi Germany. It's time we wake up.
And just a reminder to get that free one-year subscription to Israel My Glory. Just need to call them, 1-800-257-7843. Said, I'd like you to send that magazine Chris was talking about today. It's called Israel My Glory, or go to FOI.org. Again, their toll-free number, 800-257-7843. So just before the break, Chris, the caller said, why do American Jews vote the way they do? Because they are mostly backing those who are against Israel. So how do you rationalize that?
Well, first, let me just say this. It's a very fantastic question. You can't just stereotype all Jewish people. I know that they vote statistically for Democrats and for more liberal a more liberal agenda, but there is a large swath of Jewish people as well that vote Republican, and there are Republican Jewish committees all around the country. They can often get overlooked because the voting bloc is bigger for Democrats, but it shouldn't be ignored that great men that are promoting conservative values like Dennis Prager and Mark Levin and Michael Medved are all Jewish men that have a voice when it comes to conservative issues. So I want to make sure we start there. But I also want to say, you know, you have to go back in history. The Jewish people suffered greatly during the Holocaust. And when they came over, they not only were met, you know, when they left the Holocaust, they understood that one of the reasons that they suffered was because of the lack of tolerance toward them. If you ever listen to any Holocaust studies today, it's the view of anti-Semitism branches out from just Jew hatred and becomes more of a tolerance for everybody. And so I think that has gotten its way over time, worked into the political leanings of the Jewish community. You know, also, you know, Democrats like Harry S. Truman were the ones who approved the State of Israel. I mean, you know, he did an amazing thing as a Democratic president in 1948. He approved the State of Israel. So there's a lot of, you know, ins and outs as to why the Jewish people tend to vote Democrat. I think a lot of it can be history. You know, connected to history there. A lot of it is tolerance-based, what they feel is the most tolerant party. I know that might not fulfill, like, really answer a lot of the issues. I think there's a lot at play in politics that we just can't really nuance in a short amount of time.
Okay, and, yeah, short amount of time is what we've got right now. Linda in Cookeville, Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. And I just wanted to add, and I'm not trying to be repetitious, but this one Jewish man told my husband and me about, I guess it's been 9 years ago, so that, you know, we were talking with him, and he said that he was a Christian and that he was Jewish. And I guess he, you know, must have thought that we looked a little bit surprised or something. I'm not real sure. We didn't mean to be. But he said that, you know, the Bible says that doesn't say that Jews cannot be saved, but it's for the idea of bringing the nation, you know, through kind of a jealousy that the Gentiles receive Jesus Christ as Savior also. And, you know, I'm just so thankful to the Lord God that He has kept His promise and has sent the Savior, and it's through the Jewish people that Jesus Christ has come, and I give him all the credit and praise for all of this.
Amen. Thank you, Linda. Good observation here, Chris.
Yeah, you know, Linda, I am. You just drew my heart to go right to Romans chapter 11, and, you know, there is where Paul talks about the fact that God's not through with Israel. But I love, Jim, if I can just read this verse really quick.
Sure.
It says this. It says this in Romans chapter 11, verse 15. for if there, the Jewish rejection, means the reconciliation of the world. That means that Gentiles have come to faith and been reconciled to God because of the fact that the Jewish people did reject Jesus. The message went to the Gentile world, to the world. It says this, Paul then goes on and says, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? So Paul doesn't just go, oh, they rejected, and praise God, it's for all the nations, and we all benefit. Paul actually says, if you think what you see now is amazing, just you wait till they believe in Jesus. Just you wait till the Messiah comes and they turn. Because if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? Resurrection, when we see our Lord face to face in our glorified bodies. An amazing prophecy that Paul builds right into Romans chapter 11.
Thank you again, Linda. Let's go to Gary in Mesa, Arizona. You're on the air, Gary.
Yeah, I wanted to praise all of your callers for being so very bright and so up to date on this issue. Whoever praises, whoever blesses Israel will be blessed in return. And I know that these imbeciles today, these recalcitrants, don't seem to understand that opposing Israel is supporting a genocide of a race of people. We're right back to where we started before World War II.
Thank you, Gary. Mike in Marshfield, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. To echo the previous caller a little bit, I think it's important to be pointed out that that God deals with nations on the basis of how they deal with Israel. Any nation or people that has ever come against them and mistreated them has disappeared as a world power. That's a historical as well as a biblical fact. And one of the big reasons America has been so blessed in its history is because it has blessed Israel and the Jewish people and allowed them to live here in relative peace where they might not have experienced that anywhere else.
Okay. Thank you for your comment. Chris, I'll tell you what, we're going to get one last comment in from a listener and then have you take it from there. Jerry, you're on the air. Hello, Jerry.
Yeah.
Am I on? Very quickly, we're almost out of time.
Okay, just before, the Jews did turn their back on Jesus. They showed Barabbas over Jesus to crucify and kill the Savior. They turned their back on him like this. Well, I believe it's really to be between the church, Israel, and the Gentiles, you know.
Okay, Jerry, you brought up an interesting issue. Chris, 30 seconds, go ahead.
Can I use this 30 seconds, Jim? Not to,
sure.
Down what Jerry said, but I'd like to just say Ra'am, the Islamic party that is in the Knesset of Israel, gave its blessing for the coalition government. And so we could be seeing soon, potentially the end of the Netanyahu reign. So that's a big one, that Ra'am, a Islamic party in the Knesset, that's the Jewish government, is given the blessing for the thumbs up for the Lapid-Bennett party to move forward, that change government. So we're waiting for Yamina and New Hope to sign off.
Wow, wow. Breaking news out of Israel right now, ladies and gentlemen. And to Jerry's point, folks, you'll find the answers in Israel My Glory magazine. Contact them at 800-257-7843. Chris, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.